Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I am Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are, a hurricane day here in the stock market report. A jet just flew over.
No, that was the hurricane.
It's Tuesday, October 30th, and there's a hurricane that hit, I guess, New York and shut down the stock exchange.
For 2 days. As a matter of fact, the stock exchange, New York Stock Exchange, was closed for 2 days, two consecutive days, due to weather, which is the first time since 1888. How do you like that?
Yeah.
There's a cycle there somewhere.
I'm sure there is. It sounds like a cycle to me.
But what I don't understand about this whole thing is, first of all right, I get the fact that there's a storm, and I understand that's a terrible storm, and I understand that it caused a major amount of outages and all that. But you would think, post 9/11, New York, and post flash crash, all the good things that happened, you would think that they would have some better contingency plan to move the operation somewhere else in an instant.
Yeah, I mean, it's a computerized system now anyway.
Well, it's partial on the New York. That's the problem.
Okay. Well, so the New York. Well, what's the excuses on the other exchange?
Because the New York was closed.
So?
Serious. Well, futures were closed too. Why are futures closed? They're electronic.
Yeah, I don't think they should close any of it.
But meanwhile, oil was open, currencies were open, commodities were open. So there is some reason for it. I mean, you don't want futures, for example, moving all over the place, and then you get back. And then you have to adjust stock prices if they're equity futures.
There's all kinds of there's all kinds of aftermarkets open. Frankfurt was open.
Right. No, I agree.
They're trading Apple.
They could have easily opened up the alternative, which is Arcanet, which is they bought that. That's an alternative trading platform that New York Stock Exchange owns. But I think this is going to be possibly the – kind of the start of the end of the floor trader, if you really think about it. I mean, it's more of a tradition. No other equity market in the world has floor traders anymore. We're the last.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the commodity pits do, and some of other kinds of trading platforms, but there's no longer anyone but the New York Stock Exchange. The NASDAQ is a dislocated market that trades fully electronic.
So yeah, the floor traders, it's an old, I don't know that it's better that we're losing them, but it's a foregone conclusion.
Yeah, I think so. With the fact that there's, you know, very thin spreads right now and all that. And New York was starting to go this way. But anyway, the stock market supposedly is going to open tomorrow morning on time. And right now, if we look at things as they stand at this exact moment, post the Apple announcement, post the weekend, you know, all the things that happened with New York, the shutdown of the subways infinitum, all the things that gone on, futures moved all over the place. And they're back to pretty much where they closed on Friday.
Hmm.
So we'll see what happens. It is the last day of the month. And for some mutual funds, it is the last day of their calendar year from a accounting standpoint, we'll call it. So they needed to have these markets open, I think.
Yeah, no, and, they absolutely. All the TV stock market shows were saying the same thing.
Yeah, so they could do their you know, their markups or markdowns.
Yeah, they got a wrap.
Yeah, exactly. So this Hurricane Sandy insured losses maybe about $7 to $15 billion. Could go higher, you know, depending on where you are. But in right where it's right now, they're talking about $7 to $15 billion.
You just disappeared. We have an internet connection problem.
Well, actually, I've been having problems all day everywhere.
Yeah?
I think there may be some backbone issues.
It looks like it, because this is a message that came up on Skype.
What did it say?
Said internet connection problems.
Well, there you go. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, now.
No. What I was saying was there's about $7 to $15 billion in covered losses, insured losses, including of wind, storm surging, and all that. But what's really interesting is that there's about double that amount, so about well, 100% more, about $7 to $15 billion in uninsured losses.
Mm-hmm.
Because some of the losses came from floods. So a couple things you want to think about is, what are the insurance companies that have to deal with this? What are the Northeast casualty, property casualty insurance companies that may be hit with a very large loss, right?
Yeah.
Just to tickle you with some ideas. So you got AIG, Allstate, possibly Hartford. But I would probably stick with AIG and Allstate.
So you're going to short them today? We're going to short them?
Well, it's possible. I have another one for you for the hurricane.
Yeah.
Shouldn't be a total loss, right? The New England retailers, those that have a big presence there, retailers are shut. Not only are retailers shut, but a lot of people can't get out of their house. They're not going to go shopping into, you know, if they can't get electricity for some time. So while the retail sales may be pushed forward a little bit to, let's say, or, you know, pushed back actually, a month or two, whatever the time period is, the fact is there's going to be some bleeding that goes on. So I was thinking about two major big box retailers, Saks and Macy's.
You thinking of shorting them?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, I think there's going to be a lot of – let me kind of step back. This is important. I think there's going to be a lot of pent-up movement in the markets when it opens tomorrow.
Yeah, there'll be a lot, I agree a lot with of, that. It's going to be movement both in every which way direction.
Right. I think that if you're listening and you're hearing this before the market opens or during the first couple of hours, I don't want to totally say don't pay attention to it, but just don't get really serious and freaked out about it. Because I think that between the Apple announcement, which you and I will talk about in a moment, and some of the other things that have gone on with earnings, don't forget, earnings have come out for several companies, many companies. Some postponed them, but during the blackout, so to speak, of the markets, companies came out with earnings, and now they're being digested for the last couple of days, and they're going to be acted upon, and you know, with direction. And because there was the markets were closed for a couple of days, and there's going to be some, you know, that kind of end of month volume come in, it's going to be pretty substantial movement tomorrow. So I wouldn't be too surprised. In addition to the fact that there's going to be probably low liquidity because a lot of traders won't be out there. They won't be around.
Yeah, they said volume is going to be really low tomorrow.
They said low? I think it's going to be kind of high.
No, well, no, that, high actually, everyone thought that a lot of guys aren't going to be able to get in. I don't know. Yeah, it sounds like it should be high. Maybe
it should be high. I would think it's a couple of – no, it could go either way. Who knows? Right now, today's markets in Europe, they were like 80% below the average 10-day volume.
Wow.
That's pretty – yeah, that's low. That's very low. All right, so what are we going to talk about here today? Let's say – I think
– well, you want to talk about Apple.
Yeah, what is the story?
I don't know. And it's the end of that conversation.
Okay, good. Moving along. Well, a couple things about Apple. We could talk about – let's do them in order because I don't think we talked since the last announcement, the new product announcement.
Yeah, I think you might be right.
So they come out with this announcement, and they, you know, big drum roll, of course, and the whole Apple-esque type of announcement where they're creeping up with it using a lot of adjectives of color to describe how great things are, right? How exciting and how, you know, earth-shattering and moving. Okay. And then out of nowhere, they announced a few things, the 13-inch for some ridiculous price. They announced this new Apple Mac Mini and all that. And then they drop out of the sky, they drop the iPad 4.
Yeah.
What was that about?
I don't know. Everyone's wondering themselves. It's almost as if they somebody it came up to me and said, did you know that the thing that we brought out the last time? Yeah. That was wrong. We supposed to bring out this. Well, what's this? It's the iPad 4. Oh, man, what did we bring out? Yeah. I don't know. It's very comic.
Wait, I have some people that I've talked to that said, "Oh yeah, we knew they were coming out with an iPad 4." I'm thinking I'm pretty in touch with this stuff, and that was the last thing I was thinking.
I don't know that a lot of people said predicted this. I think whoever you talk to is those kind of guys who are thinking, yeah, I heard they're going to come out with an iPad 5 eventually, maybe a 6.
Oh, yeah. But I don't really understand. It seems like the launch time between the iPad – it seems like the cadence between the iPad 3 and the iPad 4 is way off.
Yeah, you know, it's like 7 months instead of a year. And here's what the only thing you can conclude, especially after all these guys quit or got fired or bailed out, is that it was panic. They had the iPad 4 waiting in the wings for the normal January, whenever it was going to be announcement. and they looked at their numbers, and they said, this isn't good. And they said, we got to do something to boost the numbers. And so
right,
they,
because this came a couple of days before earnings.
Yeah.
And they come out with the iPad mini, and I had the stock chart in front of me, live stock chart, and I said, you know, I was talking to somebody, I said, the main thing here, you know, it's nice that they have all these new products and the iPad 4 and the Mac mini and a refresh on their Mac line. By the way, what is their fascination with thinness of their iMacs? Who cares if it's 2 inches or 6 inches? It's against the wall.
I know. The iMac thing in particular was dumb.
It's light, though.
The regular iMacs are pretty heavy, so it might be.
Oh, that's good, because I carry my iMac around with me a lot.
Well, you have to carry it once.
All right, so now they come out with the iPad mini, which, you know, is interesting looking. It looks like either a bloated iPhone or a pair of pants that went through the hot dryer iPad. And the big issue was not so much the capabilities, but the price point.
Yeah.
Which, as soon as the price point came out, that's all I was waiting for. What's going to happen here? The price point, they said, they announced the price point. As soon as he said the price, stock just was getting chopped down.
Yeah.
I think that was way off that price, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I wrote a complete column analyzing, deconstructing that price and why they screwed it up. That is not a good price. The product out there already has been out there for 6 months or longer is the Nexus 7, which is a 7-inch tablet.
Right.
And this came out at $199. Although Amazon likes to think whatever they do is what everyone's aiming at, but the Amazon stuff is pretty distinctively different. But the real tablet is the Nexus 7. It's $199. So they bring out at $329, which is way off. They should have brought out at either $199 or something at least close to $199, or what they should have done in the olden days, they would have done this, and this is what the column was about. In Silicon Valley, they used to do this all the time. You'd have a product that that you own the market. You always say this technique is always based on you owning the market. So you own the market for some product, and some people start kind of inching their way into your market, and then all of a sudden they bring out something that's a little different. You really can't compete with. The Nexus 7 would be one of them. Generally speaking, you're supposed to lay in wait for this to happen, and then you come out with a product to compete with it. It has to be a slightly better product or even a really better product, and then you undercut their price. So the ideal thing to do is to bring it out at $179. And I guarantee if you had seen that price of $179 flash on that screen, you would have seen the stock go up. Because it went down with the other price, yeah. and it would go up. And it would also decimate sales. It would kill all sales for the Nexus 7, and that would also put Google in the position of having to lower their price to match Apple, which is weird to begin with. But it also looks like desperation when you do that. So they would have had Google over a barrel and possibly bumped them out of the market and screwed up their more recent announcements if they had followed an old strategy. And this strategy was done, I know for a fact, by Tektronix at one point when they had wind of the fact, when they owned the oscilloscope market, they had wind of the fact that the Japanese via Hitachi were going to come in with a very high performance oscilloscope, slightly priced better than the Tektronix devices. So they had built a secret super oscilloscope, and as soon as the Hitachi device came on the market, they came in way under the price of the Hitachi device with a far superior product and wiped out Hitachi, left the market. And Apple doesn't seem to be interested in any of these kinds of obvious, I'd call them games or techniques.
Strategy.
It's a good strategy. And now we want to keep our margins. They want to protect their margin at all costs, and they don't care about people horning in. And that's what happens. And people start eating away at Apple as a company. They start eating away at their products because you can't, you know, how much more can you improve some of this stuff? The best you can do is change the design a little bit. And so everyone's, as long as you let these guys languish and stay in the game, you get eaten up. It's like it's horrible. So death by a thousand cuts. So I think it was a huge screw up, and I think that's why the stock went down when that price was announced.
Well, when they came out with their earnings also, and they missed on revs or came in right at revs, missed on EPS, guided significantly lower, but also guided their margins lower. What's really funny is, I mean, the analysts in the back room that want to, you know, kind of always call their, you know, make their case, oh, Apple always sandbags and all that. Well, they didn't sandbag so bad this time around, you know, but they you know, because they guided down last quarter as well. But their margins, I think there's about an 8-point drop in their margins that they're expecting moving forward. So maybe if they were going to come out with a product with really thin margins, especially one that was going to possibly cannibalize some of their other sales, that maybe they thought there was going to be a real problem there. Because it doesn't really inspire me. First of all, I have an iPhone and I have an iPad, okay? So I don't have any inspiration or desire to go get a – what would I do with that piece? What am I going to do with the
little one?
Yeah.
I don't know. I have a Nexus 7. I got it from the developers conference from Google. Got it before it even came out. I should have sold it. Yeah, I wouldn't do that. But anyway, that's rude. But anyways, but the funny thing about it, I've lost it in the house.
Oh, you see, well, it's probably out of battery now. But with the iPhone, actually, last night I didn't have my iPad. I left it at the office. The first time I can remember in a very long time. And I had the little Find My iPhone app, and it did a GPS location right on it, and I saw that it was a map with my office on it.
Oh.
You ever see that work?
Now that you mention it, I should get that installed on some of these devices. Because I'm always losing my Nexus phone and the 7 thing. I know where it is, but I'm going to have to dig around for it because it's annoying that I've misplaced it. Because it's really, that little iPad or that 7-inch iPad, a 7-inch Nexus, extremely optimized for Angry Birds.
Oh, well, that would make sense.
I've been playing Angry Birds on the phone, and I played it on – I have a big – a huge Acer tablet, it's like an iPad. And I had this little Nexus 7. I played Angry Birds on all three platforms. Mm-hmm. The 7-inch platform is perfect for that game. Yeah.
Hmm. What about the so let's segue into the discussion since we're talking about tablets, the Microsoft Surface, which we love their commercials – and they came out with, you know, the Surface last week officially, I guess, and, you know, now the Windows 8 and all that. Have you actually touched one of these things?
Yes, I played with it. Sunday I had one, and I played around with it and used it and typed on the better of the two keyboards. I hadn't seen the other keyboard, the cheap keyboard, yet. I think it's a terrifically well-made product. It's really nice. The problem, again, of course, is can you tolerate Windows 8? Or this was RT, of course, the real Windows 8 ones haven't come out yet. And I wrote a column about that. Actually, I think it ran today or yesterday in PC Magazine, where I don't know where it ran. Whatever the case is, look around, you'll find it. I came to the conclusion that this thing is so much like Windows 8, this RT thing.
Mm-hmm.
That I think that Microsoft's got a problem. I think the problem is that people are going to buy this thing because you look at it, it looks like a Windows machine to me, and they're going to throw Office on it, which makes it even more like a Windows machine, and then you're going to go to put some software on it. None of it's going to work.
Oh.
And I think it's going to cause, because everyone's an idiot that uses these machines nowadays because nobody wants to teach them anymore, so you have people that don't even know how a computer works, but they buy them. And they're going to be calling customer support. I got my Surface, and tried to load this, and it won't work. It won't work. I think it's defective. I mean, this is what's going to happen. There's no question in my mind about it. There's no differentiation on this. By the way, it's a great product.
But here's the problem, John. Here's the problem. This is Microsoft's. They do it all the time. First of all, you have one OS. That's it. Why do they keep on screwing around with all these versions? That's the beauty why everybody has gravitated towards like an iOS. It's one thing. That's it. You don't get choices.
Yeah. Well, I don't know where they got. Some marketing guy came in with, you know, the choices part, which is where you have, you know, Ultimate and Home and all these different things. It started, I guess, with XP or maybe before. And this thing was, I always thought it was annoying because it's the same software. It's just some things are turned on and some things are turned off, but it's the same stuff. So it's kind of scamish. But this is a completely – this is just an, another operating system that has the exact same user interface.
Yeah, that's bad.
It's listen, very bad.
Here's my thing. Do not give people choices. People don't want to choose. That's why religion is so popular. That's why, you know, the religion is taking over the world, and it is so well respected. People don't have to choose. They're told what to do. Everybody's happy that way. I'm happy that way. Tell me what to do. Tell me where to go. I'm fine.
Yeah, no, I agree. And that's what they Microsoft still thinks. I don't know what they're this is going to be crazy. But that said, I have played with it. It works terrific. It's really it's got a nice look and feel. The fit and finish on the device itself is fantastic. It's like you think Apple made it. And it's a very impressive little device. I don't know if I'd buy one at those prices, but, you know, it's a nice piece of gear.
Well, getting back to the storm for a second, I want to talk about a few things. JetBlue, the airline, is, first of all, what was the count? 15,000 or 16,000 flights in total were canceled, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's unbelievable. Unbelievable. JetBlue sees about a $15 to $20 million revenue impact from Hurricane Sandy. And a lot of these things are business trips that won't be rescheduled. You know, not well.
Right, which is why I think maybe shorting the airlines is a better idea than shorting Macy's, because people were going to go to Macy's to buy something. They're still going to buy that thing. They're just going to buy it on a rescheduled basis, don't you think?
I think so. You also had fuel down in the, you know, oil's now selling off pretty good down in the 85 range, so that's beneficial for the airlines. But no, I agree. That the airlines will have to possibly, you know, they're going to have to refund the money. So that's even worse, actually. There was something billed. You know, look at this way. JetBlue, which clearly has a New York hub in Northeast, JetBlue gets a ticket they get paid for. And, you know, now all of a sudden they're going to refund the money. And then somebody gets the choice of what airline to fly for that next trip. And then Macy's, on the other hand, didn't get the money yet. So somebody that wanted to go to Macy's will still go to Macy's, but maybe 2 weeks later.
Right, and still buy the same thing, just buy more at that one in that mm-hmm. one trade, as it were.
Yeah, so we can think about that. JetBlue, or I think JetBlue would probably be a really good one, because they have, you know, that's their main hub, JFK and all that, and whether or not that's going to be open or not, I don't know. But they can move their operation over to in between, but it's crazy. And then to kind of do a flashback to the hurricane tsunami that wasn't going to cause an economic problem in Japan. Remember that whole thing?
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
I remember how we were like...
Everything's hunky-dory.
Yeah. This is not going to... This will just slightly cause an economic problem, but we'll bounce right back. Remember that whole thing? And I'm sitting there banging my head against the desk saying, what are you talking about? Well, we're going to see the same thing happen again, by the way. This is going to be here. You know, will be a marginal impact. You know, already they're talking about a 3% retail sales crunch. Maybe a... You know, a 50 basis point to 0.5% cut on GDP this quarter, but then you'll make it back next quarter because, of course, you'll have construction and all that, which there's some sense to that. You have more jobs.
Construction for sure. Yeah. But
now we look back and kind of keep on looking back at the situation in Japan, which now has industrial production and manufacturing numbers at the same level as just post the tsunami, by the way. But still, the fish caught in the waters off the coast of northern Japan are still having readings of radiation in it, still contaminated.
Yeah, well, that's probably never going to end for decades.
Yeah, but remember, also they said, remember something. You have to. I'm saying this only to put things in perspective. At the time, the government said there's no radiation leak that we have to worry about. Remember that whole thing for weeks on end.
Oh yeah, yeah, they brought that guy over from Baghdad Bob, to represent the Japanese.
Yeah, nuclear Nick.
Everything's good.
Yep, exactly. So, you know, just remember that when government talks, they sometimes try to, spin things a little bit, you know, because they don't want to panic. They don't want people freaking out. So who knows really what the real story is in this whole thing. But you got to appreciate the government of Singapore, because they are putting forth a package, a stimulus package, so to speak, to have people marry and have children. By addressing their housing market and all that, they want to actually start having people looking into more subsidies for infant care and child care, and they're going to be doing this so that they can make sure that their population doesn't shrink. So basically, I would think that the Singapore government should be putting on, you know, a new porn channel right? You know, have free oysters at every meal. I mean, they're actually going after it because their birth rate is only 1.2%, and they need about 2% to keep pace with the population. Hmm. Just a little something for you there.
Yeah, very little.
Extremely little. Podcast awards. You were nominated for No Agenda. You and Adam were nominated for an award for No Agenda. DH Unplugged was nominated for the best in the general category.
We're not a general podcast.
Well, what are we? We're not political. We're not business. What are we?
We're business.
All right, so we're business. Then you got to go get some of my other podcasts, though. See? You have to think through this for a second.
All right, well, I think it's a crapshoot anyway.
Yeah, well, everybody will have to do us a favor starting November 1st, I think it is. You can go over to podcastawards.com, and all you have to do is, you know, write in your vote for who you want. Yeah, vote for us.
Yeah, vote often.
Yeah, well, every day you can vote.
Yeah.
And have your friends and family do it, too.
Or set up – somebody should set up some bots for us.
Well, they check the bots. That's funny you mention that. They do check to make sure that they are a live person. You'll get a confirmation email. But you'd think that the confirmation email could just
– be botted, too.
Yeah, everything could be botted. Let's see here.
Sucking up another $5 billion. This is your favorite story.
Oh, it just doesn't end. Now they have an $11.5 billion stockpile to buy back stock. And the company has shrunk their float by so much over the years that I'm starting to wonder if they want to go private.
Well, they're headed that way.
Yeah. And what happens is, I mentioned this before, but for those of you that are new, what happens is when you do a buyback, and why the investment community gets all, you know, excited about it, you take shares off the market. And when you take shares off the market, when you calculate your earnings, you do it across less shares. And therefore, the same earnings, if you have it quarter to quarter, with less shares the next quarter, means you have a higher earnings per share. And analysts don't usually take that – well, not that they don't take it into consideration, but they don't do a buyback adjusted earnings per share, which I think they should do.
This is the little pet peeve of yours that I'm in 100% agreement with. Yep. It should be a number like the peg.
Yeah, it should be adjusted. I agree. Just take out the buybacks, adjust the share price. You know, like
so
they
you
do
can see what the company's really up to. I mean, yeah, their earnings per share are going to look better with less stocks out there, with less shares available to buy and sell. But is the company doing any better, really? And that's why you need this this other number, a real number that tells you, well, these guys aren't doing very well. No wonder they're buying their stock back.
Well, the second problem you have is now they keep which is good for investors, they keep a net underneath the stock price. But they can also, if you think about it, if they really want to accelerate a buyback plan, they can really go and towards the end of a quarter, let's say, and then have a much better earnings per share than expectations.
Right at the end.
Yep.
Yeah, just like the day before.
Right. And you wonder why the stock went up. Did somebody know something? No, the freaking company put their buyback plan into motion so that they can kind of, you know, tick it up a cent on the EPS. And I never really thought of it that way. That's pretty interesting, actually.
You should be a CEO. Well, you are kind of, but you're not a CEO of IBM.
No. Yeah, that's interesting. I got to think about that. Very interesting. Anyway, let's see here. Okay, I gave you the short ideas before. We talked about that earlier. Germany unemployment rate rose twice as much as forecast, you know, because things over there are not so good. Okay, here's another idea for you. Another short idea. I'm sorry I can't come up with – well, we can come up with some long ideas afterwards. But, for example, what happens to the hotel industry in New York, hotel and travel? I mean, would you take a trip right now to New York or anytime soon before the subways are working and all the mass transit's working and the cleanup's not done? No.
No.
I mean, you saw those pictures of the
– it's a mess. It needs sweeping.
It needs a siphon. You know –
and the subway, the subway is that you really going to New York if there's no subway there, it's just horrible. I mean, you need to be, and the subway soaks up a lot of people. And of course, they'd soak them now, but
yeah. Boom! It's about 8 million.
Of course,
the
town will smell a lot better after this storm.
Well, I want to know where the rats are going.
Yeah, the rats are headed for high ground, so they're
high
up
ground.
They're up in the tops of the buildings now.
Right.
That's got to be big. Horrible. It's probably driving rats into places they've people have never seen rats.
Right. You know,
that's actually a good observation. I got to put that on the No Agenda show as an item to discuss. Where are the rats? Where are the rats go?
Where do the rats go? But let me ask something. So you saw some the pictures of the subways, right? Of some of the subways where they're flooded up to the, you know, the stairs are flooded and all that.
Yeah,
right?
They're flooded.
You've been in subways. Do you know how many layers of subways there are underneath? It's not one.
No, there's lots of tubes going every which way.
Are we saying that
I don't think they're all flooded. There's got to be some subways that they have to conceal off. I have no belief that every subway tube is flooded. It just doesn't make sense.
Well, there'll be some in some areas that didn't get any rain, of course. I mean, some of that are that don't go all the way downtown, that don't go that way. But it would seem like, you know, they're going to have to go and clean it because the salt water is a major corrosive. They're going to have to clean it, then check all the different circuitry. I mean, this is a massive job. First, they have to get the water out, which, you know, that's a whole other discussion.
Yeah, well, that's probably the easiest part.
How do they get the water out? They put it out. They're going to put it in the streets. It's going to roll down to the next subway.
You just pump it out. It's just you have some lines that run right to the drink, you know, or the Hudson River. Who knows? I mean, they're just going to crank up the biggest pumps you can imagine and pump. I think there's pumps already down there that siphon the water into the river. It doesn't go under the street.
What about all those people that live down there? You know, that whole subculture?
Oh, I can't imagine.
Where do they go?
I don't know. I don't know what happened to them. I mean, a lot of them got houses down there.
Yeah, seriously.
No, it's true.
Yeah. I got to check on that. That's going to be an interesting story.
Yeah, well, that'll come out later.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so think about maybe some of the hotels chains that do a lot of business up there, like, for example, like Starwood Hotels.
Yeah, well,
and resorts.
Starwood's got maybe three, four hotels in New York. I think the big Marriott's, I think there's more Marriott property there than anybody
else.
Well,
but Starwood has a lot of different brands in there, but they have.
True. That's right. They have all these new. Yeah, they've been buying. Yeah, you're right. It's probably they're probably very exposed.
Right. So you got Hilton, Times Square, but Starwood has got a lot of different brands. So think about that one as possibly something, because I would venture to say that a lot of the hotels in New York are going to be unoccupied. So
well,
there you go.
They'll be occupied with rats.
Non-paying rats. Okay, Amazon came out with their earnings last week, and this is the second quarter in the row that when you saw the earnings, you're like, you got to be kidding me. Those don't look right. And they had a big loss, the first time in years, a big loss. And their outlook was a little bit light. And they blamed it once again on infrastructure spending, you know, various growth of their –
Yeah, they're building warehouses in Nevada and places, things right. like that, yeah.
And what happened was the stock dropped about 7%. And I said, I tweeted this before the earnings came out. I said, watch, Amazon will miss big, drop, and then be up 7%. I did. You could go, or I said, up big after, I think, or something like that. And that's exactly what they did.
Yeah.
Amazon dropped and then just turned around and came back up.
You nailed it.
And Apple did the same thing. Apple came out with miserable numbers. The whole market, like, shuddered. It was between the time when futures are open and closed for that 4:15 to 4:30 time.
Right.
They come out. Apple drops like a rock. Futures go, like, I mean, just go, just plunging lower. And then just starts on trickling back up the next day. So I don't know exactly what the story is with these.
People love those stocks. That's the story.
Right. So you just don't sell it.
So my son has got a book out, a small mystery book that he's selling on Amazon now. We should tell all our listeners so they can buy a copy.
What's the title? Where Do the Rats Go?
No, that's his next book. Hot Diggity Dead. It's a mystery.
Oh,
and it's a good title, and it's a $2.99, a Kindle. It's a Kindle book.
How did you read this? Of course,
I've read part of it. I don't want to sit there looking over my son's shoulder on the way he writes. We're different styles.
Mm.
It's very good, though. He's a student of the mystery to an extreme. He knows more than you can imagine.
Well, I hope he knows more about writing mystery books than he does picking stocks.
What stock did? Oh. You're going to just ride him on that forever.
Oh, forever. Forever.
What was that again,
ever.
That dog?
Activision Blizzard.
Yeah, right, Blizzard.
Take-Two came out. Not Take-Two. Did they come? Maybe Activision came out with earnings tonight. No. Oh, EA came out. They came out with better earnings but guided down. There you go. There you go. Okay, so let's see. I did look into doing a streaming live audio cast.
Oh, and, yeah. You had some ideas.
I have some ideas that look actually kind of interesting. There's a few different ways to do it, but I think we could actually do that. I think in the beginning of the year. So
yeah, we should start in January 1.
Yep, January 1, we'll look to do that, and we'll find out some cool way to do it so that we can maybe have a screen share, and you can see maybe some stock charts or, you know.
Right, you can show people how to look at stock charts, right?
Yep. We'll do that. That'll be kind of interesting. So I'm doing a study on EPS, which is earnings per share historically, and sales growth. So the growth of the earnings per share on a quarterly basis, on a one year to one year quarter, and sales growth, because I have some history on that. And I wanted to see what that was on average and what it looks like and what the variations are. And I wanted to compare the next several quarters of estimates that are out there, because when I looked at them at first glance, I said, something's not right. Because the chart on estimates moving forward on S&P 500 companies, excluding the financials, kind of makes right now it's about a -3, the growth on a year-over-year basis, but it goes up to like a 12% increase. Okay, now of course it's going to compare this low season that we're in right now, but when you look at sales are pretty much going to drop off the next two or three quarters, then just come up ever so slightly. So my question was, if we don't have sales growth, how do we have earnings growth?
Well, you right? know how we have it.
Well,
you buy back stock and you fire people. A 1-2
exactly.
punch.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and of course, as you fire people, there's less people, less money to buy product, which means things get worse. Sales falls even off even more, and so you end up having to keep firing. It's just it's a vicious a negative cycle. It's like they're watching a something go down the toilet, spinning all the way, and then. Whoosh, down.
Yeah, so it's basically three ways. I agree with you. You cut expenses, you drops your earnings forecast, or your stocks go down. That's really the results, right? So something's going to happen there. So what I did was I plotted the S&P 500, and it correlates really well to I did a spread between the EPS growth and the sales growth, and I offset it, not getting too complicated, offset it by 6 months, because usually stocks are a forward indicator.
Yeah.
And it lines up pretty well. I mean, really pretty well. And then what I did was, okay, now I have 6 months or so of future to look at, right? So if you look at that, what should happen now, I'm just saying, that equity market should come down if it plays out like it should, unless something's changed to the contrary. Either sales go up.
Nah, not going to happen. Or expenses right. Equity markets are going to tank, probably in January.
Or after the election, which is next week, which brings us to our next topic, sir. Seems that Romney and Obama are in most polls or in the average poll kind of neck and neck at this point.
Yeah, they keep saying that. That's part of the game. That's to keep the money coming in.
Okay, well, what do you think?
Oh, I think Obama's going to beat Romney handily.
Really, huh? Hmm. Well, he's got the weather on his side. That weather was a great thing.
Yeah, a little bit.
It was bad for Romney. You know what he said, right? He went right in the middle of the hurricane happening. He says he wants to get rid of FEMA.
He said that what? Long before the hurricane.
I know, but they brought it out again. I mean, what kind of crap is that? How do you like that, huh?
Well, somebody pointed out FEMA's not really doesn't do much more than just throw money at stuff, so it's not a big deal.
Well, they give away credit cards to free to people and don't even ask questions.
Well, I wanted to get one of those cards.
Remember that? They were just handing that stuff out, weren't they? Giving out those credit cards. So we think, the word on the street is that if Obama comes in, sell stocks. If Romney comes in, sell bonds. Or the reverse.
Yeah, I think whoever comes in, just get ready for the worst. It's not going to make any difference which one of these two guys gets in. They have the exact same policies when it comes down to it. I mean, it's all Bush. It's Bush policies. Obama's another, you know, when somebody said, you know, voting for John McCain's, you know, you're voting for Bush, you're going to get Bush 3. And I voted for John McCain and I got Bush 3.
Oh, God. That's a good point. I mean, there really hasn't been anything changed. And now the big thing is the fiscal cliff coming at the end of the year of the rollbacks of the Bush tax cuts, which I just wrote a piece on that. I sent that to you today. Did you get that?
No.
You should look through your mail. I sent you the economic commentary. talking about a variety of things. But the second or the last story discussion was on the fiscal cliff.
Yeah.
And the fact is that there's not much that can be done right now because we kind of blew our load on, you know, $16 trillion of debt, you know, deficits of $1.5 trillion a year. And, you know, so what do we do now? And now we have a hurricane that we have to contend with how many billions of dollars?
Yeah. No, it's none of this is good.
Yeah, the hurricane wasn't a really good piece of the puzzle.
I don't see this thing. You're sending me another copy.
Okay, I will do that. The other thing I want to mention is, well, there's two things. Housing prices. So we saw that housing prices were up on the year-over-year basis, 2%, which is better than expected. So that was kind of good. That was nice to see that we're starting to get a little bit of at least, at least some movement in that area. Well, that's good. And that's the Case-Shiller 20 city year over year. This 20 city month over month actually fell, which I thought was really interesting. So maybe I got to look back and see why that was. Maybe it was a big dip last year. But the big thing that we have to look forward to this week, tomorrow we have the ADP numbers. Some of the economic numbers were postponed. We're going to see confidence on Thursday. But Friday, so that we think this, because they've been going back and forth, Friday is the NFP payrolls number, which is, of course, going to be the last number before the election. We're running off a 7.8% miraculous number from last month. Analysts are expecting about 7.9, 125,000 of new jobs created. Obviously, this is going to be a pretty big thing. If Obama can keep – well, if the unemployment rate stays under 8%, that will be very good for Obama, especially when they splash that all over the place.
Yeah. Well, good luck.
I'm just saying how it is. What else did I want to talk? What else do you have to talk about? What do you want to talk about? I've been kind of running the whole thing here.
Yeah, I noticed. Well, the only thing I wanted to talk about was IBM. I mean, I think that's pretty much. What do you think is going to happen? What is your prediction for tomorrow's market? Up or down?
I'll give you two sides of it. You know, we have a jobs number coming out, which is important, and we have a few late earnings coming out. The Apple thing should drag markets down, I would think, and probably sell some of that Amazon after they, you know, kind of bid it up a little bit too high. Oftentimes, markets want to come back to where they were when they, you know, before they ran off for no stupid reason. So I would think that we're going to kind of have a negative bias on one hand for a lot of different reasons, you know, all the economic reasons and all the things that are going on, depending on the jobs number on that one. But on the other hand, it is the end of the month. And I think there's going to be a bid underlying stocks, and that's going to help things out a little bit. But if, in fact, we do get a bid and things stay up and all that, and there's no change dramatically since last Friday, I think coming into the next days after that, unless we get some miracle number on the jobs numbers, I think you're going to have a real problem. This market wants to test the bottom end.
Hmm. Yeah, and I think everyone's seeing the worst for the election of, you know, all the conservatives, and they're going to be bailing out of the market, I believe.
I mean, the fact is that there's a lot of uncertainty towards the end of the year. I mean, now you just added another gigantic piece, because this is big. If people just write this off and think that there's no effect on the economy because of this situation, I mean, we're talking about the major airline hub. We're talking about, you're not going to be able to get trains in and out of Penn Station for God knows how long. So all the people that live outside the city and they take the train in, how's that going to happen? You know?
Right. And they're not going to drive in either. And in fact, right. One of the tunnels are in bad shape.
So, I mean, you're going to have a major problem with people actually working in Manhattan, which then screws up the whole restaurants in Manhattan and all the various businesses that do business on a daily basis because of this. You know, the markets are going to be kind of a little bit wishy-washy, and they're going to be, going through their little struggles. And hopefully tomorrow there's no glitches. Don't forget about that. You know, you have also – the other thing is the New York Stock Exchange hooks up to all sorts of different servers as well to then communicate the trading data back and forth to where it eventually gets to my computers. And then I have to send trades, and they go through a whole myriad of, you know, hits back and forth. So all that's got to work, too, flawlessly tomorrow. With the fact that supposedly Verizon's on the has a major problem in New York, and in Long Island you can't even get Sprint. So, you know, just
sounds like a day to stay home.
Yeah, stay home and get under the covers. I mean, the only thing that would be good is that the futures market, which is obviously running well, they'll do their best to hold things up with that. You know, they'll spend some money on some futures, which buys a lot of market action. So, you know, to make sure things don't go a little bit crazy. But I think there's going to be some circuit breakers tomorrow on stocks, on certain stocks. Well, you know, I think there's going to be a lot
like
of movement.
A fun day to watch.
Yeah, especially when you have the algorithms going a little bit crazy because they don't know what the hell to do after 2 days being off. You know, they've never had this situation in modern day, right, with the algorithms.
No. This is going to be fun.
Yeah, it should be interesting to watch. And then I would think that the Apple thing, I mean, do you forestall leaving and the way that it happened is
something's fishy
supposedly,
about it. Let's put it this way.
I mean,
and then Johnny Ives is now running the thing. He's number two.
I mean, because this guy wouldn't apologize for the shitty maps.
No, the maps had nothing to do with this.
Well, that's the storyline. That he wouldn't apologize and put his name on an apology letter for the maps.
Well, it's because he probably has some reason not to put his name on it, don't you think? Like, it wasn't his fault?
Maybe.
I mean, generally speaking, people, especially in good companies like Apple generally is, these guys will fall on their sword, but not if they're being set up to be the fall guy. That's right. Different.
Well, it's kind of interesting that, I mean, well, we'll see. But bottom line is when there's a management shakeup like that, and with Apple's earnings and with the whole situation with the iPad, I mean, yes, you have those people that just love the company, but it's been under a lot of pressure lately. Ever since you wrote that article saying it's going to go up. Right?
Yeah, that's it exactly. That's the reason.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to tell me when you write those in advance.
Yeah, well, that's actually illegal. So let's take a look at our stocks.
Let's go to the stocks. Obviously, they all say zero next to today's performance.
Yeah, but we do have a nice little lot of green, very little red. Mm-hmm. The only red we got, the worst red is mine, which is the Yahoo pick of a short, which I still think is a good one. I'd be thinking of shorting it even more now. You have Legg Mason, which was, I thought, doing okay. Sanderson Farms is a buy, I'm sorry. And that's going up. So it's a good mix of buys and sells.
Yep. We got a 50% winner, a 28% winner, a 20% winner, one 8% loss. We got some things like Silver Wheaton, which actually was up nicely, and it came back on Friday. Actually, I got to change something here, entry. I have Macy's in here as a short coming up for this week.
You sure?
That's what I have.
Well,
see,
I'm going to put in. I'll put in Starwood then, and I'm going to put Starwood. And I'm also going to put in JetBlue.
Okay, got it.
And I want to look at shorts, of course.
Yeah.
And I want you to look at Navistar and tell me what you think. Let's take a look at the chart.
Navistar.
Navistar. You know the international
truck
harvester. Yeah.
Yeah, the Icon just was blown off by them. Oh no, they're blown off by Oshkosh. Forgive me.
Right. I used to work for International Harvester, so it's a good company. Why they changed their name to Navistar has always baffled me, but okay.
Well, they do more trucks.
A lot of guys are insiders are buying this thing.
Well, because you got Icon all over this.
Yeah, and Icon's been – I don't see his track record is not what it could be. And, I mean, this thing – I was looking at this at the chart on Finviz. And it's I was looking at all these suckers who were reiterating and initiating and upgrading and saying it's going to go to 63. I'm looking at the list right now. It's going to go to 80, according to UBS. And this was back in January of 11. Then they came back in, like, the latest one is September 26th, initiated Robert W. Baird. Just initiated as neutral with a price of 28 to 20. Thing sitting at $18 and sliding. I don't see that.
Down 51% year to date.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not good.
Nope.
But the one that got me in October 29th, 2010, only one person, and this is in 2010, so you got to go back your chart up. One group, one research company, Banning and Scattergood. Have you ever heard of these guys?
Nope.
I haven't ever heard of them either. They're the only ones on this list. There's about 20 people on here that back in October 10 say, underperform with a target of $27.
And that's when it was about 55.
Yeah.
Nice. Good move.
I got to check these guys out. Because nobody
else. He's got 15% of, he's buying 50% of the new share offer. I guess there's a new share offer coming out, too. This is a lot of really bad crap going on here. I don't know why Icon's so hot on this. So you want to go long this or short this?
Well, that's what I wanted you to look at the chart for, because the reason I got the idea was I was looking at, let me see if I can find it. Let me get to the home page. I was looking at the inside, you know, I've got this insider trading thing I'm playing with. And so there's this one guy, of course, the giveaway on him, he just dropped $29 million into insider. He's a board member, I think. The problem is with him, he's got the terrible two letters that when you see on an investor, you have to go, I don't know, is this a good idea? MD.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
Uh-oh.
And so he's been buying up this stuff. I don't know how an MD gets this rich, but this guy's been buying, and they're just starting. Let me go to actually, he's been buying $29 million, $40 million, $11 million. It goes back. You've got to be a 10% owner of the company. He's been buying. This guy's loaded. And so I'm not sure.
Well, this is a couple of interesting things. So they make buses, trucks, recreational vehicles, defense vehicles, engines. They do servicing.
Yeah.
I would have liked to see them do something with trains. That would have been kind of cool. But their parts and what do they service? Let's see what they service. I mean, I know trucks, they do some kind of cleaning. Make your most of your vehicle to sure it works for you. I mean, they're an international trucking company, basically making truck engines. They have some, I think they have some, or they started working on some. You know, I thought they had some military too. I guess they don't have military.
Well, that's the thing is, I think military is turning down.
Oh, here it is, defense vehicles. Here it is. Wait a minute. They make. Oh, look at that! Wow, that's cool looking.
What is it?
I want one of the. I don't know, but it's big and it's got a big gun on it. Oh. They have something called, let's see, the number quality, advanced military stuff. What, like, oh, Navistar Defense. Oh, they probably got some really cool trucks.
Well, I mean.
Oh, yeah. Look at the Saratoga. Look at that Max Pro Dash. Now, that's something.
Okay.
It's NavistarDefense.com.
Navistar.
Look at that. Look at that. Can you imagine pulling up for a date with that thing? Oh, look at these.
Okay, now.
Oh, I like that recovery vehicle. That's a cool one.
Well, this is just government crap.
Yeah, I like it, though.
Okay, he's got some nice truck. You like the Max Pro Dash?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just looking at it.
That would be cool to bring somebody on a date.
Come on.
Yeah.
Look at that thing.
The Saratoga is a clone of the Hummer.
Oh, I love this. Look at this. this one's like combat ready. You can get an extra gun mount. Probably put like a whatever you like a 40
I've seen these Max Pro Dashes. They were in Iraq, and they were heading out. That's what that was. I remember seeing it. Exact same thing.
And it has a turning diameter of 54 inches. That doesn't seem very effective.
What's that?
Curb weight 34,000 pounds. Height 109 inches. Built to save lives, small V-shape with a deflective a V-shaped hull to deflect IED blasts away from the vehicle. Yeah, it's good stuff.
What do you think one of these things costs?
I have no idea. It's
Max
not cheap.
Pro Dash DXM. I bet you Google knows. Hold on a second. Max 2X's Pro Dash.
We can't buy this on like Amazon, huh?
Price. I bet you somebody's got it.
It's got to be 500,000.
Okay, here's you can do the calculation. They ordered 250 of them for, that's what it looks like. 250 of them for $183 million. They're just about $750,000 each.
Yeah, that probably doesn't have, I'm just saying.
No radio.
No XM radio in that one. No radio, no air conditioning in that. Oh, yeah, that's extra. That's extra. Look at that. But it does have everything else you need.
That's a scam. See, now this is, it violates my principle about buying with these insiders, but guys at MD, Icon's been blowing it left and right. I think I'm going to short this way down there and see what happens.
Well, hold on a second. Let me look at the chart that where it's basing here for a second. Let me just look a little bit differently at this. Let me get a close up.
Get
on
a
this.
Good look on one of the good charts instead of the one I'm looking at.
Yeah, we got a stock.
You can talk me out of this.
Well, the good news is, like we say, this is just we're just playing around. As a matter of fact,
there's no money lost, and we don't recommend any of these ideas.
Yeah, this is something only for nuts like us, or you need to consult your personal financial person or do your research. We don't take any responsibility for you losing your entire fortune on this.
When I look at this chart, I just see it trending down. I don't know what, unless they got some big contract they're not telling anybody, and this guy knows about it.
Inside, this is a horrible looking chart.
Isn't it?
Horrible. It's a classic. This is the kind of chart you see in a book that says, it says this is a downtrend.
Yeah,
you have
that's what I'm thinking.
Lower highs and lower lows, and you keep on getting these weird end. What's with the deal with the end of the month stuff?
I don't know.
You see those giant spikes down at the end of the month?
Unless something weird happens, which can happen. I mean, there's always they keep a rabbit in a hat. It's possible. But I think this looks like a short to me.
Yeah, but I don't know if I short it down here. You're getting down to the one thing I'll tell you is this. This is what I'll tell you. The one thing is the last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 days. Do you notice how it's getting less
so it's
of a downtrend?
Less, yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Well, let me take a look. Let me see what the Bollinger Bands look like on this thing. That might
it's going to be probably outside the Bollinger Bands, I would think.
Let's find out.
I'm going to look at the weekly. I think that's going to give us a better take on this. Oh God, that's awful. That's horrendous. It tried to hold up at about 23. Oh, that's horrendous. Why is the stock doing so poorly? Defense cuts.
Defense
maybe because
cuts.
Of the whole, I mean, maybe.
The cliff.
This is horrible.
Yeah.
And they have a share offering coming out. It's so bad you almost want to
buy. $29 million worth of stuff like this. It's crazy.
It's almost so bad that I'd buy it, as crazy as that sounds. Not for real, but I mean, this
yeah,
is
I know.
Such
it looks
a horrible.
Like it, right, I know. It looks like it's cratering and But it makes no sense. It's a good company.
Last week looked like it was its final impulse down, possibly on a weekly basis. You know, usually you get that huge volume like you saw there. Everybody just finally throwing in the hat and saying, screw this. But that may not be the end. But it looks like they just really just blew it out last week.
Well, maybe let me just wait on it then. Because if it's going to make a move, it's going to bottom out. It could bottom out at 9.
I'm going to put Navistar here for fun. I'm going to put the word for fun to watch, okay?
How about putting a long and a short?
Oh, that would work. You're going to net out, and then you'll be right on one of them.
Exactly.
All right. I got fun to watch only. I'll put in the price tomorrow. Now, the one
because
thing I will say is
it's possible that you can net out, but if the thing takes a run, it kills the one trade because of the 10% number, and it's not going to reverse. And then you're on your way.
Wow, that's a good idea.
Yeah, why not?
Or then again,
the opposite is. It hits the 10%, sells that one off, bounces the other direction, and dumps.
No, it doesn't get stopped out. It just stays within side, and then it goes back the other way, and you make it on both trades.
Yeah, that can happen.
One thing I want to mention, the short on Macy's that I'm talking about, I'm not doing it on the open. I'm going to do it at 9:45.
Okay.
There's going to be a lot of crowded stuff happening. That may or may not be right. I can't tell you looking this far in the distance, but I don't want to be there on the open. You know, the probability is I'm not the only one with the idea, and you're not the only one idea about looking at the airlines. And
right.
So I think that we need to kind of let the market cool off just a little bit, and then we can hit it. So. But I'll put that on just to watch for Starwood.
All right. Well, then we'll talk about all this next Tuesday. This is my phone.
All right. I look forward to it. That's the election night, isn't it?
Is it?
I think so.
Well, we'll have to maybe reconsider and do it on Wednesday or the next week. But we'll find out then.
Yeah. These presidential stuff has got to stop with interrupting
us. This will be the end of it.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.